You are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of information, news, and analysis of your awesome town crew.
Open wide for some soccer!
You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now. We're at now, now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
This club, and any sports franchise for that matter, should be a sacred community asset. That is how we're going to treat the crew. Our goal will be to take the crew to be one of the standard bearers in the league.
And look at the Nord deck there. The crew faithful, ever so loud. Yeah, buddy.
Our kids are getting worse. They won't obey their parents. They just want to fart and curse. Should we blame the government or blame society? Or should we blame the images on TV? Now, blame Canada! Blame Canada! It seems that everything's gone wrong since Canada came along. Blame Canada! Blame Canada! We need to form a full assault.
And we're back post Trillium Cup wrap-up match podcast-y thing. What's going on? My name is Mike Oshert. This is the Massive Report. Sam Fahmy turning the knobs and playing the smooth tunes tonight. All the best of your 80s and 90s funk, I think, is what Sam's going with tonight. Chris Lamacchia with me, Justin Bell, Greg Benson, and... my headphones acting up incredibly, incredibly bad this evening. Yeah, so let's get right into it, shall we? The crew lose 3 straight to Toronto FC.
Never happened before.
I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
You know what really pisses me off?
What's that?
Is that... You know how when we play Toronto, we do that, if you ever won a cup, clap your hands thing?
Yeah.
There's a good chance that we won't be able to do that with Toronto anymore. I'm not saying they're going to win an MLS
Cup.
Yes, they have won.
Well, they've won a Trillium Cup before.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that I'm picking Toronto to win the MLS Cup this year, but they're definitely going to have a better shot at it than we are. And just the fact that, as I was listening to that chant occur in the Nordeck on Saturday, I realized it was probably one of the last times I'm going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Now that won't stop me from still doing it because they're Canadian and they don't count. So blah, 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 whatever, but...
Yeah. I mean, any of the Toronto pundits, I guess, to be really nice to them would point at the Voyagers Cup, and then I
Oh,
would,
yeah, the Canadian Amway. Yeah, I would, we feel bad for you, so here's a trophy you all
Yeah, I would
for.
Point out that we've won 2 games in a row before as well. So that's
Just
the thing.
Month.
That's the thing. So the crew dropped the decision to Toronto. Justin Bell... When you're not throwing golf balls into a live volcano, you do sometimes talk about soccer. So, what are your thoughts, man?
Boy, I don't know, man. This is a tough one because, like all year, I've been saying it's like the results don't matter. But for the first time this season, it feels like the result mattered.
Yeah.
I don't think the team played bad. I think that it was a fun game to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we're missing some serious quality at important parts. And the most important part, of course, everyone knows is striker. I don't know what we're going to do about it. Probably nothing.
Well, I know what we're about.
What, Chris?
We're going to hope. We're going to hope and wish and wait for next year.
Yeah. I think if we had a quality number 9, I think that game is completely different.
Yeah.
And it's remarkable that the game ended the way that it did, because the first thing that I thought of was back in 2009, when there was also a 3-2 scoreline of August, I think it was July 25th of 2009. And it was, at that point, we had never lost to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And Toronto came... to that game with every intention of beating us, and
yeah.
and for the most part they played a straight up hard great game, but at the end Frankie Hayduk had probably the best cross I've ever seen him make,
mm-hmm.
to Jason Gary, who was running to the far post, and made in the 92nd minute of the match with the game winner.
Yeah.
That team was different than this team in many regards, but one of the major regards is that they did not lose games like that.
Yeah.
And this team is not at that level. We're that team would not have lost this game.
Yeah.
That team would have won this game. They would have figured out a way to win. Toronto is where we were then.
Yeah.
Luke Moore is a veteran player, has an English pedigree, and played a great game. Michael Bradley, you know, he might not be world class, but he's definitely the class of MLS. One of the best players in the league. Dominic Oduro had a good game.
He still
can't finish, but he can frustrate the defense, and you know, I mean, they played the kind of game that one of our sides would have played in 2009, and that's why they won.
Yeah. You know, this is the first, and somebody's going to correct me out there on the Twitters if I'm wrong, but I'm 99% sure I'm correct on this. This season is the first season that Toronto has ever been above Columbus in the standings.
Ever?
At any point ever?
That doesn't surprise me at all.
No, I'm...
Wow, that's shocking to me.
Yeah. Matt Bernhardt, if you're listening to this sometime on Tuesday morning, can you verify that for us?
Yeah. I'm sure the one year that we didn't start out all that great was the year they had the 9 or 10 game losing streak to start the season.
Well, 2009 was that year.
No, 2009 we won.
No, we didn't start out very well at all because we were the
defending
champions.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, that is correct. Yeah,
and
that is correct.
In fact, the first game we played against them was a tie.
Yeah.
It might be true.
Yeah. They went on that spectacular nothing streak. But I'm like 99% sure that's true. So if you're listening to this and you want to prove me wrong, go ahead. You can tweet me at Matt Goschert, and I'll promptly ignore it. Pretend that I'm always correct.
Well, the one thing I'd like to say, though, is I honestly thought that Eric Gehrig played the best game I've seen him play all year. He was really good. I mean, he played hard, made smart decisions, actually had a sort of a sideways rebound shot that about scored. I mean, it was on the handball, the call that we ended up getting a penalty kick on. But he played really, really well. But, you know, he's the new right fullback.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see this pattern with these players. A guy comes in, plays really well at that position, and then just gets run into the ground, because Berhalter's strategy is to make those fullbacks have to be a huge part of the offense. And so they're always running forward, and they're always tracking back, and then running back forward, making crosses, and they just get run into the ground.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they've learned anything in that regard all year. And it's the other teams can see this. The other teams are not foolish. They scout the crew.
Yeah.
And they know exactly what's going to happen. And you see Berhalter saying after the game, he's like, you know, we get a lot of good crosses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everyone knows that's what you do. And so, I mean, do something different.
Is it one of those things? I mean, did we win the first three games of the season because they didn't know how to play against Berhalter's system, and now we're not playing well because everybody's watched that film?
It's part of it, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the sole reason.
Okay.
I think the major reason is that we don't have a hold-up striker.
Yeah.
We don't have some guy who's, you know, they said you need a finisher at that forward position. That's true. But you also need someone who's going to hold the ball up,
mm-hmm.
and who's going to allow those, you know, allow Higuain, allow Finley and those guys to follow up and get a good shot. So,
all right, Greg, your thoughts on the match?
Well, we talk a lot about how Columbus played down on Saturday, but I looked at this from the other perspective. I looked at this as a crew performance that probably would have beaten half the teams in the East at the very least. I know it's a weak conference, but you put that performance against Montreal, Philly, New England, Chicago, Houston, you're probably winning 3 out of 4 of those games. Turns out Toronto's actually not bad this year.
Yeah, they're not.
You know, they have improved. We've looked at Toronto as the whipping boy of the league for so long.
And then you throw 100 and some odd million at it.
Yeah. Right. I mean, regardless of the reasons, yeah, they throw a ton of money at the problem, but that's the way, I mean, I talked about this on Cards Against Insanity last week. It's the way that, that teams have decided that they're going to solve their needs is to throw stupid amounts of money at it, and Toronto does the same, but it's actually started to come good for them. But yeah, the Crew were not that much worse than Toronto. I think they played from behind, you know, obviously on the scoreboard, but they played from behind a lot. They chased the game a lot, is what I'm saying. And I still think that that performance would have beaten most of, if not half the teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I think your worst teams in the West, they might have beaten Chivas with that. They might have, you know, whoever. But yeah, Toronto straight up beat them.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it.
Well, it's one of those things. I mean, as I'm frantically trying to get my phone to actually load what I wanted to talk about here for just a second, but you flip a coin, and with two goals, you've at least drawn the majority of the teams in the league this week. Obviously, you're not mm-hmm. playing the same team, so you're going to be it's going to be different. But we're producing relatively well. It's just the finishing, kind of what Justin got on, and the not letting the game get away from you at the end. What are your thoughts, Chris?
So, standing up in section 141 close to the top watching this match, it occurred to me in about the eighth minute that everything that Toronto FC does goes through Michael Bradley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in about the 48th minute, maybe the 58th, I don't know, a short time later, mm-hmm. it occurred to me that the Columbus Crew hadn't seen that. Or if they had seen that, they hadn't adjusted to it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that the Crew has a guy that they can stick on.
Well, you have
Michael
an Instagram account, Chris. Couldn't
That's
you
true.
Have, couldn't you have Instagrammed that?
You know,
I should have tweeted.
And I'm not saying that the Crew has a guy they can stick on Michael Bradley and say, shut him down, because Tony Chani ain't that guy, and Will Trapp is not that guy yet. I think it would take probably five or six of our players to shut Michael Bradley down, and then when you do that, you don't have an offense, because one of those is going to be Higuain, the other is going to be Parkhurst, and blah, 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 blah. The thing is that if you can't shut Michael Bradley down, what you have to do is just deal with the fact that everything is going to go through him and make him hold the ball. Take away all of his passes, take away all the passes to him, things like that. And it seems to me that that was the adjustment that didn't get made, be it at halftime or on the field or wherever. And to me, that was frustrating, because it seems as though, for better or for worse, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Greg is just going to stick, Coach Berhalter is just going to stick with his...
Say, what did I do?
my way or the highway. And I realize that he's a very accomplished soccer mind, and he has more knowledge in his little toe than I'll ever have in my entire life. However, you got to be able to adjust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes...
Couldn't we... I mean,
life comes at you fast. Yeah, that's right. I went there.
Couldn't we have just... I mean, at the end of the day, if you can't figure out who you're gonna get on the guy, can't we just send Crewcat after him?
Well, I was actually thinking...
During the halftime break, just Crewcat runs in and just scratches him a bunch?
Well, I was making the point that if ever there was a time for a Danny O'Rourke red card...
Yeah,
my God, it was this Saturday. You know, and I've been saying it for two or three years, and it's yet to occur, although it gets closer and closer, I think, every passing week. This team needs a fight. This team needs somebody. If Tony Chani would grow a pair of testicles and throw an elbow at whoever that douchebag is that, A, talked crap all game and then scored a goal in his face and then did his celebration dance right... No, it wasn't Gilberto.
It was Gilberto. I have a picture of
him. Oh, I thought before you said scored...
He fought everybody.
Yeah.
He was a... Luke Moore after the game.
It was Luke Moore that was in Tony Chani's face all game. If Tony Chani would nut up and knock him out, all the problems are solved. All of them.
But before you said score a goal, I thought you were talking about Tony Galifo.
Oh, well, yeah. That's it. No,
maybe we can send him out.
And I think that
he's always ready to throw down.
That little exchange that occurred for the 90 minutes this Saturday is the entire problem in a microcosm with Tony Chani. Kid got no nuts.
Oh.
And I'm going to go on the record and say that. Anyone else on this team would not have listened to someone jawing in their ear for 90 minutes and then score a goal, which people will do, and celebrate that goal literally in your face.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anyone in my life, let alone a professional athlete, who will tolerate that, other than Tony Chani.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you
on that. Okay.
I honestly thought that Chani was the guy who had the most sort of chutzpah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was in those... He was bothering those guys.
Oh, yeah. And that's the whole reason the kid was jawing at him, was because Tony Chani got under his skin.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He was really getting underneath their skin. That's great way of putting it, Chris. He would, and it might have been kind of like bad tackles, bad, I don't know what he was doing, but every time he seemed, I looked up, it was either Luke Moore or Gilberto or Michael Bradley. There was a moment where he and Michael Bradley were faced nose to nose. Now he did right. He did not like throw a shove or anything like that, and which maybe he should have.
I guess my point is that if you're going to start that and you're going to get in someone's face and someone's going to get in your face, then you can't just yell at them. We've all been in bars and seen how that goes. Everybody laughs.
Yeah.
Look at you trying to be a tough guy. But nobody laughs at the guy that throws a punch.
I did kind of like the way that he did things though. You're right though. I mean, he didn't kind of follow through. But I got the guy who I've kind of expected to be that guy. Giancarlo Gonzalez had a really bad game.
He did.
And I can't help but think, maybe we'll talk about this later, I can't help but think that not pulling the trigger on moving him forward in his career is starting to impact him.
Well,
because there was a moment during the game where people were like, boy, you know, we're going to get maybe Fulham will make another play for him, or maybe we'll get some money for him. And I looked at them and I was like, because that's where his value is going. Every single time he goes out there, the value from his great appearance in the World Cup is just falling through the floor.
It gets further and further in the rear view.
Yeah.
I wonder how many times Fulham called today asking about Giancarlo Gonzalez.
Well, not much, because the transfer window's closed. But, you know, other than that, I mean, unless Fulham just really missed Greg Berhalter.
I don't think European transfer window Europeanism. Is not closed.
So it's not closed.
Europe, only MLS's window.
It's a two-way. It's a two-way mirror.
Europe,
put it that
you're
way.
You're a two-way mirror.
Ha! You know what that means. Matt tried to make me look bad, and he looked bad for once.
I'm dumb then. I'm dumb. Whatever. I'm not even drunk yet.
I didn't know what a transfer window was.
At least you haven't rolled up your trousers and are wearing penny loafers.
Hey. That red baseball cap on that guy is the super trendiest thing I've ever seen.
It really is.
Welcome to Awesome.
It should have a bird on it.
Talking a ball all day long.
One thing I'm saying real quick before we go to break here, and it kind of touches on what you guys were talking about right there. There's a reason why David Beckham didn't come back to Columbus after the first time. And I'm pretty darn sure it's 100% Gino Padula. And it's not, Gino didn't play the guy dirty.
Nope.
Gino didn't do anything like that. Gino established dominance. He was essentially the Beckham whisperer. He was the dog whisperer of David Beckham. He essentially established dominance and then ruled him for that entire match. And David Beckham didn't want to come back to Columbus after that. And honestly, with some of these superstar guys, you don't have to play them dirty. You don't have to go out and throw a punch at them or anything along those lines. But, you know, make them understand that this team isn't going to take it lying down.
Yeah.
So we're going to come back in a few seconds here. We're going to talk about a whole lot of things, but I don't have my show run up. So
we're going to talk about things that happen on soccer fields.
That will happen. It's coming up next. This is the Massive Report.
Illuminate whilst I illuminate the possibilities. Well, Alibaba had them 40 thieves. Sherry's already had 1,000 tales. But master, you in luck, cause up your sleeves, you got a brand of magic never fails. You got some power in your corner now. Some heavy ammunition in your camp. You got some punch to land. Your blue and house, see, all you gotta do is rub that lamp. And I'll say,
Mr. Aladdin, sir, what will your pleasure be?
Let me take your order, jot it down.
You ain't never had a friend like me.
Life is your restaurant, and
I'm your maitre d'.
Come on, whisper what it is you want. You ain't never had a friend like me.
Yes, sir, we pride ourselves on service.
You're the boss, the king, the Shah. Say what you wish, it's yours, true dish. About a little more baklava. As I'm a column A, try all of column B. I'm in the mood to help you, dude. You ain't never had a friend like me.
We don't read and write poetry because it's cute. We read and write poetry because we are members of the human race. And the human race is filled with passion. And medicine, law, business, engineering, these are noble pursuits and necessary to sustain life. But poetry, beauty, romance, love, these are what we stay alive for. to quote from Whitman, O me, O life, of the questions of these recurring, of the endless trains of the faithless, of cities filled with the foolish, what good amid these, O me, O life? Answer, that you are here, that life exists and identity, that the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. That the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. What will your verse be?
And we're back. Segment two of the Massive Report. Getting back into talking some crew. Getting back into talking some, well, what the hell happened during the alleged transfer window. I don't really know. I don't know if I believe the transfer window existed. If the transfer window opens and the crew don't pick anyone up, did it really happen?
Well,
I mean, I'm just...
I don't know. Has anybody called Seattle? What's the capo say? Does anybody know?
Have we heard from a capo?
No, we haven't heard from a capo. Tony, yeah. What's the capo say?
I guess he says fight and win.
Okay, he says fight and win. That makes more sense.
Well played, Tony.
So the crew go for Mixed Discarude, don't get Mixed Discarude. A lot of different things as far as that goes. I really liked, I did like what Mix had to say on Big Soccer. Of all places, which was...
It's a very interesting place for Mix to post. He goes to the International Consortium of Soccer Experts.
Yeah, so Chris...
He went to the right place.
Yeah, Chris,
do you want me to read
the whole thing?
Can
you... Yeah, let's... I mean, unless there are any objections by that guy in the West Virginia shirt out there.
Well, unlike that guy in the West Virginia shirt, I can't do a Swedish accent, even though I drive a Volvo.
Norwegian.
He's Norwegian.
Oh, Norwegian.
That explains why
good
my
Good Lord.
That explains why my Volvo hasn't taught me the accent yet.
You may have been talking about an Australian. And talked about
could be
from New Zealand.
Could be. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's happened.
I thought Duncan Otten was British.
Oh.
Oh, and by the way, congrats to Duncan.
Yeah, oh, by the way, yeah, we should definitely
congrats
point that
to
out.
Duncan. Great. Not for winning this weekend, but for, you know.
Expecting a baby.
Expecting a baby.
Yes.
No, and he's not expecting the baby.
Way to get one past the goalie, Dunks.
Cheers, man.
Yeah.
Cheers. Cheers.
Is that his first career goal?
Oh! Oh.
Cheers.
Cheers again. To Duncan Otten. All right, Chris, all right, go for it.
The Mixed Discarude statement. And this is all direct quote, and Mix did write it. It's been confirmed. Last week I got to talk to both Greg Berhalter and Anthony Precourt. I like them both. I think they like me. I do not think Columbus could ask for a more dedicated coach or have a coach with more dedication in creating a playing style that will be recognizable and with a unique stamp of Columbus crew. I believe that Anthony Precourt patiently will see to that because he is that type of guy, I think. Grant Wall has made some erroneous statements, making some people look very bad. He says his source is rumors. And that is, of course, one way to cover a lie or to press people to give you information you are not entitled to by asking them for clarification, which a journalist, of course, in turn may use only parts and portions of. In my book, I would give Grant Wall a straight red card and with 3 weeks total suspension. I have had a lawyer representing me and having had him as the one who has kept communication between Greg, MLS, Rosenborg, and all others I've had obligations to in this matter. He has assured me that he has not at all done any of what Greg Wall accuses my father of. My father has not been negotiating between Rosenborg and or Columbus MLS. The lawyer has, of course, gone through what I am writing here and then in this particular post. I am a mix between U.S. American and Norwegian. I was supposed to be raised equally in the two countries. Plan was grade school in Norway and high school and college in the U.S. Because I developed so well at my football clubs in Norway, I pushed high school to college, and when my stay-back coach begged me to go pro instead of enrolling in a U.S. college, I made a coin flip where my parents were present. It landed on tails, and I signed for stay-back. Therefore, I have an urge to go, at one point, to live, breathe, and evolve as an American person in the United States. Some people say in social media that I would never go to Ohio. I ask them, why not? Isn't Ohio the most perfect example of what the U.S. is really all about? When the Democratic part of the USA votes, isn't Ohio what exemplifies best what U.S. values is? Why wouldn't Columbus have given me a faster and better understanding of what the USA past, present, right to left is all about? What I can tell everybody is that the best day in my life I had in Ohio. The fans, when we finally qualified for the World Cup, were the best fans I have ever played for. I guess a lot of them were from Ohio. They lifted us immensely. You have no idea what that means and meant. The supporters of Columbus Crew may not be the biggest by sheer numbers, but please go check what they write and how they critique. They are not the most cunning of all MLS... Or, I'm sorry, are they not the most cunning of MLS supporters?
That changes the whole
meeting. Yeah, it really does.
Are they not the most cunning of all MLS supporters as we speak? I do not know if I end up in Rosenborg, American football, if I end up in Rosenborg, American football, or in a really exotic place during the next 5 to 7 years, but I do know that I am lucky and happy either way. What I am most committed to right now is long-term to be a part of U.S. soccer in the years ahead, and in short-term try to make Rosenborg advance tonight. Signed, Mix.
I want to say, like, a couple of things.
I want to say
like
about a billion things.
Like, a couple of things. I actually want to say a couple of things about that, and I'm apparently not speaking eloquently during our second segment, but...
You need to be more cunning.
I do need to be more cunning. I think that's really well written. Just from a what he was trying to convey standpoint. At the end of the day, I think there's a few things that you can hit on. Number one is nobody's in those negotiations except for Mix, his representative, his club in Europe, and the representatives from the Crew. I can't fault the guy if what he wanted he didn't get. He acted like a professional during the entire thing, from what I've seen and from what he just wrote there. And if the deal couldn't get done, the deal couldn't get done. We did learn a couple of things on this. We learned from Anthony Precourt, for example, just how much Anthony's willing to open the wallet when somebody that he thinks is a key piece that he wants is coming in, or has the potential of coming in. So I don't really fault necessarily anybody in this situation. You have to have, as an owner, a limit of what you're going to spend, because you do. There does have to be that element of fiscal responsibility, and thank God it's not HSG's limit of fiscal responsibility, as far as that goes. Would I have loved to have seen Mix coming into Columbus? Of course I would have. I don't think there's anybody at this table that wouldn't have wanted to see Mix Discarude play for the Columbus Crew. Do I think that door is shut? No. He's done with his contract, from what I've heard, at the end of this season.
At the end of the season, exactly.
And that also opens a lot of possibilities. Plus, it also opens the possibilities of not having to pay him a transfer fee. Or yes. Not having to pay his club, rather, a transfer fee. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of different thoughts here. We do have, you know, we still have the rumor of the Greek guy coming in.
Papadopoulos.
We don't know much about that right now. We don't know what their thoughts are on him.
We've got the new kid, the striker, Romain Gall.
Exactly.
Either way,
kid's a 10 shirt, and he's a goal scorer. And, yeah, sure, he's young, but by God, give him a year or so.
Yeah. So
I'm okay with waiting around for that.
I do want to get before I open it up to the rest of the table, the biggest Mix Discarude fan that I know,
Tony Galifo.
Tony Galifo. Now, the biggest Mix Discarude fan that is not related to him that I'm aware of, Justin.
We probably
Bell.
Are cousins. I would imagine.
I would guess somewhere.
Well, last week I wore my Mix Discarude USA jersey because I knew this was coming.
Yeah.
And I think what I said was I expected that it was going to take a 2-year, $3 million contract to get him here.
Yeah.
If you believe Taylor Twellman, and God help you if you do. I'm kidding. Then the offer was around $1 million.
Yeah.
And people, that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. That's not, yeah, don't.
That's
yeah.
a lot of money, and it's a lot of money to play soccer in Columbus, Ohio.
That's a lot of money. Right. I still don't think that's enough.
No.
And obviously it wasn't. Because, and this is, there is blame to be had here. And this is who you blame. Don't blame Mix Discarude. Don't blame Mix Discarude's dad.
Yeah.
Don't blame Greg Berhalter. Don't blame Anthony Precourt. This is MLS's fault. This league stinks. And the reason why it stinks is because when you look at the amount of money that they shelled out, that the league shelled out for Clint Dempsey, it was $8 million per year. That's what he's getting paid right now, $8 million for Clint Dempsey. They vastly overpaid for Clint Dempsey.
Oh, God, yeah.
Look at what they paid for Michael Bradley. Michael Bradley is getting paid $6.5 million this year, at least.
Yeah.
This is what they tell us. Who knows what other things they're getting. They vastly overpaid for Michael Bradley. if you think that these other guys who are on the United States men's national team do not know that...
Jermaine Jones,
mm-hmm. perfect example. Aaron Johansson, if Aaron Johansson was going to come to the United States, he should get nothing less than $2 million per year based on what Major League Soccer has done.
And yeah, then, it's and what this the market is, bears.
And this is the worst part of it. The worst part of it is when somebody comes into this league and wants to be a part of... wants to join a team, possibly. He's got things that are holding him back, holding him to his team in Norway. For instance, like he said at the end of his letter, he was competing to get to qualify Rosenborg into the next round of the Europa Cup.
Yeah.
So he's tied. He's held. He wants to participate in the Europa Cup, obviously.
Yeah,
so if you're going to pull him from that, then you're going to have to pay him even more money.
Yeah.
So these are real things. MLS is competing on a global scale, and they don't want you to realize that. They don't want their fans to know, to understand that.
Is this?
But what happens is, this is the part that really burns me, is that every time something like this happens, there's always got to be a bad guy. There always has to be a bad guy who has gone against Major League Soccer, who they can point to, mm-hmm. with Grant Wall, who is just awful. I mean, this shows just how awful Grant Wall is. He is so far in the pocket of these people. And Taylor Twellman and Alexi Lawless, these guys come out and they throw these rumors, these things that are based in nothing other than their weird allegiance to Major League Soccer, because that's how they get paid.
Yeah.
And they will spin these stories to create a bad guy. Well, there was a handshake deal, and Mix Diskerud's dad reneged on it. Well, it turns out that that's absolute bullcrap.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. they got to say it. And so that's out there. Who did? And one more thing. Grant Wall said after all of this, when Greg Berhalter and the truth came out that everything that Grant Wall was writing about how this deal fell apart was basically crap, he came out and said, "Well, you know, I have my sources in MLS and I trust them." Yes, yes, you do. You have your sources in MLS. And who is the only? Why else, why would they say anything else?
Yeah.
It's because if they look like, well, we can't, we falsified a ceiling, a market, we created a market based on our own stupidity so that we could sell the league with these two big players, and now it's kind of coming back to bite us, where these other guys want more money than we can afford to give them,
yeah.
to come and play in Chicago or Columbus or wherever. They're going to spin it.
Is this indicative of MLS 3.0? Because we are at, and I'm just saying, I mean, MLS 2.0 was Toronto to about last year. And in my opinion, MLS 3.0 is NYCFC, Orlando, Hotlanta, mm-hmm. Miami. That really is what it is. At the same time, still with, you know, some of these clubs that are kind of the you know, prom dates and or former prom dates of our lovely commissioner. If this deal was going down in Los Angeles, if this deal was going down at NYCFC, do you think the league steps in and gives them money in order to do this?
Yes, I do. But there's also this. You know who came out and said that there were forces that were conspiring to keep a player from a particular team?
No.
Bruce Arena.
Yeah.
Bruce Arena came out this week and said that there were forces in MLS that were conspiring to keep, that did not want Sasha Kljestan to play for Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what he's getting at there, but I kind of have a feeling that Sasha Kljestan wanted to come to MLS, but he only wanted to come to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
To make that happen, the crew had to sign Mix Diskerud. That's the only way that Sasha Kljestan comes to LA.
Because to LA, yeah.
If he comes to MLS, then he's coming to Columbus unless they sign another player.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's saying.
I completely agree with you.
MLS messed up the deal. If they would have kicked in, let's say they would have figured out some other way, some strange, convoluted way like they did to get Dempsey into Seattle or Bradley into Toronto, and they would have said, okay, Mix, here's another $2 million, and you're going to come to Columbus, and then Sasha Kljestan can come to L.A. And you know who knows that? Mix Diskerud and Mix Diskerud's agent.
Yeah.
And so does Jermaine Jones and Jermaine Jones's agent. They know these things.
Yeah, of course they do.
MLS is trying to play this weird three-dimensional chess game, and they're getting their asses kicked.
You know what I think happened? Actually, I was listening to the podcast that I posted yesterday, with Lexi Lawless and Taylor Twelman, mm-hmm. and they were talking about how MLS overpaid for Michael Bradley and for Clint Dempsey. And I think what happened is MLS realized that we totally effed up and totally overpaid.
Right.
So now they're trying to bring it back the other direction.
Right.
And the guys that are coming back are like, no.
Yeah.
We saw what you paid those guys. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We want to be at least somewhere reasonable in there, even though they haven't really, honestly, they haven't really performed enough to earn anywhere near that.
Well, but
and MLS kind of put themselves in a bad slot.
MLS yeah. set the precedent by going out and doing this, and there's no way to undo that.
Yeah,
like, as much as they try and backpedal and try and move the goalposts again now, that's a phrase that we were hearing a lot last week, is that somebody moved the goalposts, but we know it wasn't who we originally thought it was.
Yeah.
That now they're trying to move it back by saying, oh, maybe we overreached on these guys, but... You know, now you've set the bar. It's yeah. there.
And honestly, think about it. These players played it very, very smart. You have from now until December, from now until MLS Cup, until the end of the current CBA agreement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You come into, if you wait it out and come into next year, where you have a new CBA agreement, a higher salary cap, you're probably going to get more money.
Are we going to, with the national team guys that we have playing for us right now, are we going to have a CBA agreement? By March of next year.
Yes.
Because that's...
You have to.
Well, yes. No, you don't have to.
No, you don't
have
to.
There could be a strike.
Yeah, there could be a...
There could be an extension, too.
Yeah, that's true.
There could
be
an extension, but my point on this is that you've effed this up so badly. You've gone in... This is like hiring somebody to work at your store and paying them four times what everybody else is making, and then that dude... Just going around telling everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all public information. It's not, they're not David Beckham. You know? David Beckham coming to the league, nobody else in the league or who wanted to come to the league could say, oh, well, I should be making Beckham money.
Yeah.
Because David Beckham is a brand. Mm-hmm. David Beckham is David Beckham's a great player. I'm not at all taking away anything from David Beckham's skill on the field. But nobody in this league... Nobody in this league could match that, and nobody in this league could match the brand that David Beckham had behind him. So you could have paid David Beckham, you could have given him seven teams and the entire state of Utah, and you're still not upping. You're still not upping the, you know, the collective. You know, all ships will rise in a high tide.
Yeah.
With these guys, with Bradley, with Dempsey, yeah. and Bradley. You've got guys like Parkhurst. You've got other guys who are national team players who are all of a sudden going to be looking and going, yeah, no, I know I signed for this much, but you're paying all these other national team guys this much.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually interesting that you bring that, because Alexi Lalas brought out that same point, but within the Columbus Crew context, he said, if I'm Federico Higuain and they're saying that they're going to pay Mix $1 million,
yeah.
I'm marching into that office going, I don't think so. You better be looking at a raise for me.
Well, no, yeah, if you've got that situation going on, you have to re-up. There's a lot of contracts you have to look at again, and that's why I'm talking about. That's why I'm concerned that there may be a labor dispute.
And there goes your
over the offseason.
And there goes your entire increase of whatever your salary cap is.
It doesn't even matter. The salary cap in the next couple of years is going to be a thing of the past.
I don't know if it'll be a thing of the past, but it's either if it goes away, it's going to go away the way that it did in Major League Baseball, where there's a luxury tax.
Well, it just becomes a joke.
Right.
Yeah. At a certain point, it's already
$10 million.
The designated player rule has kind of made it weird.
Oh.
But you
designated player allocation money, allocation order, DP allocation order.
Yeah.
What's the other
homegrown one? Homegrown U.S. men's national team.
Yeah, yeah.
Contract, whatever.
Homegrown
size,
players.
Allocation order.
Generation Nabisco.
Yeah, yeah.
all that new one where if you eat enough cookies at the beginning of the season, your salary doesn't count towards the cap.
The Chips Ahoy.
Yeah, the Chips Ahoy. That's it, the Chips Ahoy rule.
Excuse me. What they need to do is just go to a straight $10 million. Maybe 10's too much. Maybe make it 7. We say that you can spend $7 million a year on a player.
If you go over that, you pay a luxury tax, just like the New York Yankees.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you stay under that, awesome. Yeah. You get that luxury tax from Toronto, Seattle, L.A., New York, Columbus, whoever spends the money.
NYCFC is listening to what you're saying.
Yeah.
NYCFC is listening to what you're saying going, ka-ching,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. And I'm totally fine.
I'm a star. I'm a big, bright, shining star. Exactly. That's what Manchester City is doing right now.
Totally fine.
Oh, I'm sorry, NYCFC. I get them confused in my head sometimes.
Sam, I know you're trying to wrap this up, but let's look at this analytically. If NYCFC wants to go out and spend $15 million a year to pay all of the washed-up Europeans that they can, I am totally cool with them paying that $15 million, and then we get an extra million from them.
Yes.
Because they pay their $15
million,
and they pay us a mil, or they pay the league a mil, or whatever, in a luxury tax.
Amen.
The way that the New York Yankees can sign A-Rod to a $121 million contract, but then they have to pay the Kansas City Royals for the right to do it. That is exactly the way that this league needs to be set up.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
There's our future commissioner right there.
It's really not. We'll talk about
bring
this.
Bring it on, Tom Garber.
I vote for
Milwaukee. He's got the headshots to prove it.
Don't blame me. I voted for Kotos.
And the height.
All right, we'll be back in a few seconds, and Greg's going to yell into the microphone, and then I think we might have Sweatpants Bambalance on for a second.
Yeah.
This is the Massive Report coming back next.
For you, a little closer. You say no. You say you don't like it. I say you're a wire. But when we kiss, it's like fire.
Flanked by Pixie and Dixie, you can call me Mr. Jinx, holding all that paper for another round of Cards Against Insanity. I say that because, I know it's weird, because I led off this segment last week by saying it's been a long time since the Columbus Crew had lost a game. They went out and lost a game. So let me start off tonight by saying, boy, it's been a long time since the Crew won a game, hasn't it? It's been a long time since the Crew won MLS Cup. It's been a long time since somebody bought me a drink. It's been a long time since I got a date with Ashley Ignelzi. Hey, shoot for the moon, am I right? Anyway, moving on with the task at hand. Yellow card to Diego Maradona, who was caught on camera slapping a journalist as he left a theater with his partner and their son. The journalist apparently winked at Maradona's significant other, which was enough to get the former World Cup champ out of the car and deliver the high five to the face. For what it's worth, they left the theater without seeing a movie. Maradona was disappointed when he got to the concession counter and discovered that the popcorn and extra large Coke combo wasn't what he thought it was. Yellow card to Liverpool, whose PR department apparently still communicate by carrier pigeon, because it took them until today to finally get around to taking down the poster of Luis Suarez from the cop stand at the team's home ground at Anfield. Suarez signed with Barcelona a month ago. A month ago today, actually. Get it together, guys. When Columbus traded away Dominic Aduro, not only did we not waste any time taking his poster down, but we're in the process of raffling off his car. Seriously, Dom was driving a black Camaro here in town last year. Is it the same one? You gotta prove it's not. Two yellow cards going out from Wednesday's friendly between AC Milan and Chivas Guadalajara at NRG Stadium in Houston. Yellow card to the grounds crew, whose slapdash attempt at laying down strips of sod made the field look like a pinstripe suit, and it all fit together about as well as an homage t-shirt on Ziggy Schmidt. The irony of this is that the stadium, which is the home of the NFL's Houston Texans, has a grass surface for football games. Why not just use that? Also, yellow card to BN Sports broadcasting the game, whose graphics package incorrectly identified NRG Stadium as NGR Stadium.
Ooh.
Oops. They finally corrected it at halftime and hoped nobody would notice. I noticed. Nigeria doesn't play there. That's what they were thinking, right?
Yes.
They were thinking Nigeria,
yes, Nigeria
plays there. Okay, it has to be.
The national team.
Yellow card to the Crew, who spent Monday playing golf. Why is this a problem? Well, for anyone who doesn't know, the whole going golfing thing is an expression used by teams who have missed the playoffs. So to be out on the links less than 48 hours after a loss that saw the Crew fall out of the top four in the East is ill-timed at best, and full-fledged Tony Galifo season effing over at the worst. Come on, guys, a lot of soccer left to be played this year. No need to turn club and country into country club just yet. Speaking of people who haven't learned their lesson about responsible use of social media, yellow card to Eddie Johnson, Just a week after he lambasted Brian Ching right before a loss to the Houston Dynamo, Johnson took to the Twitter webs to respond to angry fans after DC United were shellacked 3-0 by Real Salt Lake on Saturday. Among the highlights from Johnson's rants, "You blanks have no soccer brains. I've played in a World Cup, have you? And I'm not here to please your town, buddy. Hey, Eddie, while you're getting paid to play in that town, it's your town, too. Look, some people just need to stay away from Twitter immediately following a bad result, whether it's Eddie Johnson, Merritt Paulson, or every Cleveland Browns fan I know." Yellow card to the Italian Football Association, who named Carlo Tavecchio their new president despite controversy surrounding recent remarks he made on the state of foreign players in the Italian leagues. Tavecchio was quoted describing a hypothetical Italian signing by saying, quote, "He was eating bananas last week, and now he's starting for Lazio, and that's okay," end quote. Yeah, making the guy the president of your country's most powerful national sport is a bit like making Donald Sterling commissioner of the NFL. But the most ridiculous part of Tavecchio's statement came when he asked why Italy couldn't be more like the English Premier League. "You mean the league with more foreign players per team than any other in Europe? You mean the league which relies so heavily on outside talent that they can't even develop a good national team? It's a bit like Crew fans saying they were getting sick of ties, and why couldn't we be more like Chicago?" And finally, red card to the judge in Kirkland, Washington, who set the trial date for U.S. Women's National Team goalkeeper Hope Solo for November 4. Oh, so conveniently making sure she won't miss any time playing for her club or country. CONCACAF qualifying for the World Cups in October, by the way. You know, because of those pesky domestic violence charges. We see this all the time when it comes to athletes getting off the hook because apparently the public wants to see them play more than they want to see justice served. NFL player Ray Rice has been in the news lately over allegations he beat his fiance. Other players in the past in various sports, both college and professional, have been implicated in all manner of charges from sexual assault to DUI to murder, and many have had their trials pushed back or sentences suspended because they're athletes and we don't want to miss out on seeing our heroes just because they got in trouble with the law. These guys are your heroes? A guy shown on video dragging his spouse across the floor out of a hotel elevator? A woman who allegedly got drunk and beat her sister and teenage nephew? A guy who ran a kid over on a racetrack on Saturday night, albeit unintentionally? Try this the next time you got an upcoming court date. Tell them you got a bartend. You're a pharmacy tech. You got paperwork to do. You're hanging drywall in Reynoldsburg on Friday, and my people need me, damn it. They're not special. They don't deserve special treatment. Professional athletes and entertainers are just people, only beloved for as long as they can keep scoring or saving goals, completing passes, winning races, and cranking out blockbusters. They're a dime a dozen, the same way they treat their fans when they're criticized for a bad game. See Eddie Johnson. If one of them goes down, the team will find someone to replace them just as your employer would, and then that replacement will become the new fan favorite until they get thrown out of a nightclub, punch out a relative, or hit a kid doing 80 on their motorcycle. You think athletes are overpaid, overhyped, and as I discussed last week, overpriced? Stop putting them on a damn pedestal. If Hope Solo misses a few games, or a season, or the rest of her career, if that's what it takes for the truth to come out, for the justice system to do its proper job, I'm sure the 18,000 people who follow the Seattle Reign on Twitter will move on just fine. My name is Greg Benson. You can find me on Twitter as Gregulator614. Facebook is That One Guy Greg. And if you're at Hendox Pub, you're in my seat. Play on, but remember, I'm watching you.
And now, due to the federally required equal time rules that have been imposed on podcasts this week.
Is that Title 14?
Title 14. I give you none other than Sweatpants Bambalance.
Hey, guys. It's nice to be back. Greg, I just wanted to say, I did love Cards Against Insanity. I did. You went after the Browns. You went after Italians. You went after Liverpool. And least expected of all, you went after my favorite NASCAR driver. So, wow.
Well, to be fair, the guy who got ran over went after your favorite NASCAR driver.
Yeah,
that's another story.
True.
Yeah, let's just say when I saw you turn up at Hendox tonight, I'm like, oh boy. Because I had this script, and I'm like, this is going to work really well if Tony doesn't turn up, and then he's the second person to walk in after me. I'm like,
So wait, I have to ask this question before Tony goes off on his rant. Mainly I'm stalling so Tony can organize his thoughts and get a little more nervous.
You may need to stall for a while.
Yeah.
Do the Seattle Reign really have 18,000 Twitter followers?
Yes, they do. They have 18.9
I knew you would look that up, and here's Twitter why
followers.
I asked.
Yeah.
That means that there are more people in the world who follow the Seattle Reign, meaning they know the Seattle Reign exists, than the Columbus Crew had at their rivalry match this past Saturday against Toronto FC.
Wow. Yeah. I did think about that. I'm like, wait a second.
To be fair, the Seattle Reign probably only gets 7,000 people a game.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it's free to follow someone on Twitter, and there's a little more, you know, investment.
It's also probably $2 to go to one of their games.
And by the way, it's Reign, R-E-I-G-N.
Right, as in Reign of Terror.
Yes.
Player, Reign and Blood.
Because doesn't Hope Solo play for them?
Well, yeah, that was the whole point of that.
I know, that was the point of my joke.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And I thought so I was going to embarrass myself.
Reign of Terror, Hope Solo.
It's R-E-I-G-N, not R-E-I-N-G-B in sports, just for the record.
No, I mean, I realize there's a little more, you know, commitment involved in coming to a Columbus Crew match, but still, the point stands.
Yes. Yeah, that team's able to get
anyway,
you know, almost 20,000.
I'm just watching Sam eat chicken on a stick right now.
Well, wait. It's Chinese food. Are we sure it's chicken?
Well, you know.
It's in the fortune cookie. Guess what? That wasn't chicken.
I do love that there is...
Kirkcat's still alive.
Kirkcat is fighting. Can I bring this up? Because we talked about this before we went to air. Last week, if anybody was listening to Cards Against Insanity, which at least three people were, because I got tweeted at by a couple...
There were four of us here.
There were four of us here, and I got tweeted at by at least two people who weren't here. So that's I got that there going go. For me, which is nice. No, I talked about Kirkcat leaving me hanging on a high five. Apparently, my colleagues here on the Massive Report actually tracked down Kirkcat on Saturday and attempted to get the makeup high five happening, but it didn't happen for one reason or another. I'm not sure. The last thing that I would have wanted to hear while I was not exactly sober at Crew Stadium on Saturday, let's just say, the last thing that I would have wanted to hear from either of these guys was, guess what, Kirkcat's looking for you. that would convince me that's nature's way of cutting you off.
Oh boy, I'm tweeting it's a picture okay. right now of Sam eating chicken. So now we're gonna go back into sweatpants Bambalance here. Tony Galifo on the show. By the way, I pronounce your name right. You don't.
Yes.
So what do you got going?
What do I got going? I wanted to rant about a couple things. One, like, last week in the game, apparently sitting in the Nordic, sitting in front of HSH, apparently there's a commotion about language in the Nordic.
Can I pause you for a half a second? Not only can you not pronounce your last name right, you cannot pronounce Nordica correctly.
Yes.
Continue.
I have the grammar skills of a 5-year-old. No, what do you want me to do?
You have the grammar skills of a Marysville High School graduate.
Don't remind me.
That's fair. Go ahead, Tony.
Oh, are you really going to play music?
Yeah, we really are. God. No, because this is a good rant, Tony.
It's a good rant. Go for it, Tony.
Look, proud here, homie.
We know we want more fans in the Nordic, and we want kids to grow up loving the Crew. However, if you bring your kids to the Nordic, it is not an appropriate place for their first Crew game. You're going to hear a lot. Well, I can't say what you're going to hear a lot, because Sam will get mad and throw me off. But...
You can elude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you beep over the top of them later?
They're words that rhyme with truck. Words that rhyme with bit. I'm doing this on improv, so God help me.
Is that a word that starts with C?
Oh, yeah. There's a room that rhymes with trunk. Or, I don't know. That may be a stretch.
Are you just making up...
Yes, I'm making this up as I go on. The point is, you do not come to the front row with your kids thinking that it's going to be a rated G environment. I'm sorry, there's God knows how many other sections there are in Columbus Crew Stadium where you can bring your kids and have a great time watching a soccer game, and you can sit on your hands and you don't have to hear the language. The point being is, don't bring your damn kids to Nordic thinking that it's going to be a child-friendly thing, because it's not. Because some of us take this really seriously and like to actually try to get under the skins of the other players on the pitch. Which is why we have a sexual offender chant. Which is why we sing, like, If I Had the Wings of an Eagle. Mm-hmm. Which is why we say, score a flipping goal, Columbus Crew.
Bloody.
Yeah. sure, there's some things that do cross the line, like YSA, which reared its ugly head again this weekend. However, that will probably be dealt with sometime
Kruvazela
soon.
Kruvazela will beat it back down.
Yeah,
Kruvazela. I love Kruvazela.
Kruvazela is wonderful.
Yeah, I
will fight anybody who dares to speak
but
up against it.
Thankfully, Chris, who has a better way with words than I do by times a million, went down to the front row and talked to people where I probably wouldn't be so pleasant.
So, funny story.
Oh, boy.
I didn't say anything to the guy.
Oh, really?
I just looked at him mean.
All right, well, that works, too. It's better than me cussing and
being
getting...
6 foot five, isn't it?
Yeah, well...
It's better than me cussing and getting thrown out again.
So, do you... So, the funny thing is about Tony's...
Did three guys in Hard Rock Cafe shirts just walk by us?
Three Asian dudes in Hard Rock Cafe shirts. Wow. They were probably on their way to Dick's.
All right, fair enough. Dick's Den.
Dick's Den, not Dick's Sporting Goods, by the way.
A bar.
I think they're
closed
at this
hour. So, the gentleman that Tony is referring to made a very, very interesting point in his during the course of complaining about the language in the Nordeca. His argument was that by us that inhabit the corner using foul language with the regularity that we do, we are damaging the brand, and I'm quoting here, damaging the brand of the club. I really wish the guy would have said this to me.
I didn't realize Clark Beacom sat in the section.
And see, that's you know, see, this is a funny thing.
Clark knows I'm kidding.
It's funny that you would say that because everyone who is in charge of protecting the brand of the Columbus Crew has used that rowdiness and that raucousness and that foul language to their benefit to sell tickets to the guy who is now complaining about the fact that the Nordeca, the section that he paid to sit in, is damaging the brand, even though he saw a commercial on TV where, had there been audio, people would have been cursing and people were probably letting smoke bombs off and people were doing all sorts of things that he would frown upon from his teetotaler perspective. However, he doesn't know any of that's occurring until he shows up.
Yeah.
Now, worst case scenario, this guy had a great time and is going to come back to another Columbus Crew game next weekend and sit somewhere else. Best case scenario, that guy had a great time, is going to come back to a Columbus Crew game next weekend, and on the way out of the stadium had a very, adult-like conversation with his children, saying to them, these are words that are okay and acceptable in environments such as the one that we just left. However, if I catch you using these words anywhere else in the world on your daily in your daily life, I'm gonna knock the living shit out of you. See what
hopefully
I did there?
You wouldn't say it.
See what I did there?
Yeah. I see what you did there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we gotta make this podcast PG-13. God.
No, I dropped one. It's okay.
Yeah.
The point of the story is that if you think that we're the ones that are damaging the brand because we use bad language, A, you're sadly mistaken, and B, there are people who are doing way more damage to the brand by not using foul language than we could ever do to the brand by using it. Does that make sense? Am I making sense to you?
Yeah, Sam should be swearing more when he takes pictures.
I'm sure that he does.
That's really what I think.
And can I also add, if you're going to bring your kids to the game, if you have to be somewhere, like Tony said, there are how many other different sections in Crew Stadium?
Exactly. The Crew even advertise a family section.
They advertise a family section.
With a playground.
If you desperately want to be in the Nordeca and it's a burden for you that your kids would have come along, well, maybe you should have put a hat on it.
And the thing is, he wasn't in the Nordeca. He wasn't just in the section. He was in the very first seat of section 140, which for those of you who are unfamiliar, I'm sorry, 142. Which, for those of you who are unfamiliar, is the slice of pie that La Turbina inhabits. Mm-hmm. He was in the very first two-seater seat at the front row of that.
I did my supporter/fan/make-people-want-to-come-back-to-the-game duty by walking up to a little kid that had a little camera that he was trying to take pictures with and gave him some pointers on how to shoot sports.
Nice.
Yay,
nice.
You.
Way to go, Sam.
So this
he's going to come back next week and take your job.
Yeah.
An interesting segue.
Indigger James!
I'm bringing my 14-year-old brother and 11-year-old sister to the LA Galaxy game this coming weekend. And I am not a parent. I don't have any aspirations to be a parent.
Chris is going to avoid us all this weekend.
No, I'm not. I'm going to bring my little brother and sister, and we're going to stand in my normal section at the top of 141. And I am dreading giving them the "you're going to hear some terrible language" speech.
because I know that they're going to be shocked. They come from an environment where bad language is a thing that exists, but they don't use it unless dad is really angry or mom is upset that she burned a pie. I don't know. But this is a thing that I know that I'm going to have to do as a responsible human being, bringing underage, you know, minors into the Nordica. And that's how we...
Wait, Chris, you're allowed around minors?
Only family members.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. I just want to make sure.
No, it's just, it boggles my mind that a person would bring their young children to an event like this and not think that they have to do any parenting while they're there.
All right, Tony, you get the last thought because we're about to wrap this segment up and talk about my girlfriend's birthday party, a.k.a. the LA Galaxy game next week, where apparently, according to her, just so you know, the only reason they're having fireworks is because it's her birthday.
Okay.
Is she going to be 17?
Makes sense.
No. No.
Oh.
No. Tony,
what I want to say
last
is
thought.
The crew, we, as supporters, we're actually like very tame compared to some of the groups that are out in MLS. We don't really care for smoke bombs. We don't really care for flares. But I'll be damned if the crew's ever going to take our dirty language away. All right.
Hallelujah.
If the crew ever tells me that I need to tame my language in the Nordic, they're not getting season tickets next year. For one, I will not bend on that. I will not compromise on that. It is my right as an American citizen to cuss in public. All right? So to those who say that I need to tame my language around those, around kids, go screw yourselves. This is America. I was going to guess there, but
I love it how you have no issue not swearing on the podcast when you're in public.
Well, I have respect for Sam.
Oh. There you go.
You're welcome.
Ladies
Sam
and gentlemen.
Sam in the middle of the Nordic and I'm swearing. I'm
ladies
swear
and
about.
Gentlemen.
Shut up!
Sweatpants Bambalance right here.
Yes.
All right, we'll be back. Segment 4 coming up. This is the Massive Report. At least I think it still is.
God bless America!
All right, so segment 4 of the Massive Report.
I do want to, before we get into talking about this LA Galaxy match, I do want to get another friend of the show who's been here for a little while, Ira Harper, who's actually, and I didn't know this, fluent in ASL.
That's American Sign Language for the Tony Galifos of the world.
For Tony Galifo. But I do want to get your thoughts real quick here, Ira, on the, you know, the Toronto FC match. You were there, so what do you think? You know, it's very interesting. I agree completely. Do you think that Michael Bradley sucked in this game, or do you think it was good? This doesn't work on radio.
Yeah,
guys.
This was.
It's kind of like
this is a Chris Lamacchia idea.
It's like having a guest appearance by Helen Keller.
It would have been a whole lot funnier if one of us understood what she was saying.
I totally understood what you were saying.
What she was saying.
It was like the most. That was absolutely the most prescient point of the entire podcast.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. Well, sorry you guys weren't here to watch.
Was it that Michael Bradley? I can't even. No, I'm not going there.
No, it totally makes sense. Totally makes sense. So, thanks, Ira. Appreciate it. Yes, she's now signing off. And walking away from us.
Literally signing off.
I think everyone needs to know that was absolutely real what just happened.
Oh, no, it was
it
totally
did
real.
Actually happen.
No, that was completely 100% real. And
I thought I had a good idea.
You did.
Matt, Chris, you two are holding your phones. Did somebody actually get a picture of that or
no.
something
no,
that we can document it with?
We should have done that. We really should have. That would have been fantastic.
No, I was verifying Justin's story about Mork and Mindy.
What about Mork and Mindy?
He said it's a spinoff of Happy Days?
Yeah, it was totally a spinoff of Happy
what
Days.
Mork and Mindy was a what?
Yeah, it was a spinoff
what
of
is
Happy
that?
Days.
What is Mork?
How did you not know that? The character, yeah.
Yeah, Mork meets the Fonz is what happens.
Yeah, Mork meets the Fonz.
Yeah.
What?
Tony Galifo thinks he's going to be on this segment, and he realizes that he needs to go get me another drink.
Tony Galifo.
So, by the way, Ira is still signing. I just saw her.
She's now just flipped. That's
she's
actually
totally
just flipping
signing.
Us off.
Nope.
It was awesome.
Robin Williams was on two episodes of Happy Days in 1978. And 79 as Mork from Ork.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So the 70s were
Ira's
amazing.
Ira's not signing anymore. She's just flipping us off.
So it wasn't a spin-off. They did a crossover.
No, it was a spin-off.
No, what happened
it's
was.
Like Cheers and Frasier.
Yeah. Okay. No. So that is a spin-off.
What happened was his appearance on that show was so popular because you got to think about it. There was only four networks in on television that day, mm-hmm. back in those days.
Wait,
and so
three.
Well,
was
there was
Fox around?
ABC, NBC, CBS, and public broadcast.
PBS, yeah.
Okay, PBS.
And the so Dumont Network had already gone the way of the Buffalo at that point.
Yeah, so what happened was a lot of people tuned in to watch Happy Days every time Happy Days was on.
Yeah.
And it was a really popular episode, and so they decided to give Robin Williams his own show.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy.
And then Mork landed in Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah.
Somehow.
I kid you not, the four networks thing where there's only four channels on TV prior to cable, prior to everything, was literally what we lived with in Australia until 1994. Yeah. I'm not making that up. That sounds like a joke. It sounds like, oh,
no,
God, I'm so far behind.
I thought you were going to say
everybody
like
else. No,
2003.
I'm not kidding. No, I'm not kidding. Cable wasn't even a thing until 95.
You know, the Gulf War brought cable to the masses in America in the early 90s. I thought maybe
not to us.
I thought maybe 9/11 brought cable to the masses in Australia or something.
No, you're off by about 6 years, but nice try.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it really was. Like, the whole
wait, Tony, don't sit down on anything.
Hearing about Americans
no, I'm
watching
joking, I'm
stuff
joking.
On cable, it was like that didn't even exist. Cable to us was what the trains ran on.
You know what? You know the other thing is
that's what you pulled your ox cart with.
Yeah. Okay. That's I'm trying to keep it sensible here.
My parents still can't get
segment three is still
Comcast at their
ears.
House. Like they have to have a dish. Like that's yeah. When I was a kid,
well, wait, they live in Indiana, right?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Well, right. I mean, they just got indoor plumbing like a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, it was just it's so much more fun to poop at my parents' house now.
Rural Indiana, the only place that Australia apparently can make fun of.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's totally true.
Indiana,
that's
totally also true. Known as Ohio's outback.
It really is.
Can you get a Bloomin' Onion?
You can get a Bloomington
onion.
You
can totally get a Bloomington
onion. I like that. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
that's
good.
Totally.
Well
that's
played.
Good.
So. Also, there's literally an Outback Steakhouse like 5 minutes from my parents' house.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Why didn't you drop me off there? I was.
Greg would have been right at home.
Yeah.
I was half surprised. I was expecting, because the long story short, we did the road trip to Chicago.
Yeah.
Last week. Not last week, the week before.
Week before.
Whenever you're listening to this, it was whenever the Chicago game was.
Right.
And you're probably listening to this like 3 years later, like, oh yeah, this happened like recently. But well, no, I got dropped off because Matt and the girlfriend were doing the meet the parents thing.
Yeah, for the first time. So I'm not going to bring some random
which
other
is
person.
Fine.
Some
I random understand, Aussie. And I understand. Well, I don't want to bring him around.
Hey, mom, dad, this is my girlfriend. Mom, and this is Greg.
My mom thought that this was the hilarious part. My mom thought it was a bid-meet situation. My mom thought it was some random foreign dude that was only in town for like a week. And my mom's like, why didn't you invite him over to the house? And I go, he's been here for 10 years.
I've been here for 10 years. Joke's on you guys.
And my mom's like, oh, never mind.
Hey, Greg, when you walk into Outback Steakhouse, do you stop at the host station and go, throw another shrimp on the Bobby?
No, I don't, actually. And I can think of about 245 reasons why I don't.
I would
do
totally
that.
Do that. Be
they
like
call
the
them
prawns
would,
there.
And that's
the
why
prodigal son
you're
is returned.
Not, no.
Well, they call them prawns there.
They call them prawns. Nobody has ever, ever said shrimp on the Barbie.
When
except
I,
ironically.
As an Italian, when I walk into Olive Garden, I always just walk up to the host station and go,
bibbidi-bobbidi.
Table for two.
You are going to grow a mustache before your wedding, right? Like a proper full...
Well, I am now.
Yeah, you better.
There we go.
You better, or we're going to be sad. By the way, just if anybody doesn't know, we are doing a podcast from Chris LaMacchia's wedding. And it's going to be about nothing but his wedding.
Are you going to live pod my wedding?
We're going to live pod your wedding.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be fantastic. We're going to be
No, wait. In all seriousness, Sam, wait, hold on. In all seriousness, and this is the God's honest truth, we're all going to do Rachel a huge favor. She is having a hard time deciding on a hashtag for our wedding. So I'm throwing it out to the Massive Report podcast listeners.
Hashtag worst mistake I've ever made.
Matt said that, not me.
Rachel, I'm saying that's the worst mistake Rachel's ever made.
I will say this.
Settle down.
I will say this. Regardless of what I'm wearing to the wedding, I will have one of the Columbus Crew It's a Trap t-shirts underneath.
Okay. In any case, for y'all out there listening, I need hashtag advice.
Yes. Hashtag Rachel's marrying down.
I have to shoot this.
Yes.
Yes, you
do.
You're
also producing a podcast during the wedding.
Sam actually pointed to Chris at that moment and said, I have to shoot this.
And I cannot Photoshop him a mustache. It's just
hashtag.
Not going to happen.
It's got to, yeah. You're going to have to work on that.
So we were going to talk about an LA Galaxy match.
Yeah, so apparently the LA Galaxy are playing the Columbus Crew on Molly Thomas, hashtag my girlfriend's birthday. So happy birthday to her early.
Rogers makes his triumphant return to left back.
Yes,
it's actually Blackout the Girlfriend Night.
It is totally Blackout the Girlfriend Night.
Isn't that a Tuesday?
Just a proper Tuesday. What do you guys think is going to happen? I mean, that's the first thing. We have 4 minutes left in this entire podcast. Chris, go ahead.
The corner flags are going to rejoice, and we are going to be outclassed, and Pippa is going to get angry. And Tony Chani is going to exemplify his lack of testicular fortitude. And Greg Berhalter is going to say that they executed the plan very well, but things just didn't work out. And we're going to lose.
All right, Justin.
I'm actually really looking forward to this game. There's a lot of different things that are happening. One of which is what Chris had mentioned earlier is Robbie Rogers is coming back.
And that's cool.
And yeah, it is really cool. And the thing that I like most about this is that he's playing the position that I said he should be playing back in 2010. Yes, I said he should be playing this position back in 2010.
So
I think that if he would have been playing left back for the Columbus Crew back in 2010, he would still be playing left back for the Columbus Crew right now.
Yeah.
He would have just come off of probably a stellar performance in the World Cup and would be maybe a designated player for us. I really feel that. I feel like if they would have given him a shot at that spot back then and put Gino Padula, give Gino this is your pupil.
Your tutelage.
Yeah, yes. You're going to teach Robbie how to play left back like a professional.
Yeah.
I think it would have changed everything. I still think, Robbie would be much happier. I think he would be out and happy in Columbus, Ohio, and we would be much better team with him playing left back for us. I've always said this. I have a lot of criticisms of Bruce Arena, the way he coaches, for many, many reasons. But the fact that he was able to see this and come upon this and say, this makes sense, when it clearly makes sense that he plays left back, is a real credit to him as a coach. So even though Landon Donovan is retiring and it's going to be his maybe his last appearance in Columbus, to me, it's Robbie coming back and playing left back. That's the most interesting thing.
I'm more interested in seeing Robbie play than I am anything about Landon Donovan. Don't get me wrong. Landon Donovan's a great player for the national team. Mm-hmm. Landon Donovan has you have to respect Landon Donovan for his contributions to U.S. soccer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Me saying that isn't doing anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm more interested personally in seeing how Robbie's developing with LA and seeing what's going on with him.
And I really hope he gets a very warm welcome. I know that
I don't see any reason why Robbie wouldn't.
Yeah, I hope he gets a warm welcome. I mean, obviously, you know, boo all that stuff that you do during the game, but I hope he gets a warm welcome before and after, like Oduro did.
People booed Frankie Hayduk while he was playing for the LA Galaxy, but before and after the match, there's a giant difference between
I don't know.
Things.
Dominic Oduro coming over to the corner after the game.
Yeah. It was a little weird.
Yeah.
He's no Frankie Hayduk. That's
all
I'm
saying.
No,
he's not. He's not.
But he thinks he is.
But he's a nice guy.
Dom's a great guy. And,
he's a wonderful, lovely human being.
He wasn't going over there and being like, haha, you jackasses, we won. You know what I mean?
No,
he was trying to say, hey, buy Papa John's pizza.
No, he was coming over to welcome his loving fans and say hello to the people that he left in Columbus and all that crap, when in actuality, we kind of gave him the boot because we kind of didn't need him anymore because he's kind of not that good.
Well, Andy Iroh, before he went to Toronto, got drunk in the corner and everybody
was
fine
awesome,
with that.
But
he got like man hugs. I gave him a man hug. It was
there's
it was crazy.
A difference between we booted him as the organization and we booted him as the fan.
Know.
The fans kind of forced him out.
You can't really say I don't know.
Maybe I'm alone on this, and if I am, all right, cool, whatever.
You're a little off base.
I personally, I was
Oduro didn't come over and wipe his ass with the Columbus flag.
I'm not saying that he did.
I personally think that Oduro came over to find Frankie Hayduk and ask for his car keys.
Well, that's too. That's also a thing.
He has to buy a ticket in the raffle in order to try.
Exactly. You got to prove it's not. Got to prove it's not the same car. I'm just saying.
All right. You know what? He got a warm welcome.
Yeah.
I thought that was, you know, it was a little odd, but, you know, whatever. He got a warm welcome.
He actually got a warm welcome from everybody on staff that he walked by.
Yeah.
By the way, can I say something about Tucker?
Yes.
Tucker Walther, who's been with the crew for years, is a very important person for the Columbus crew and the staff and the fans, people who know him.
And this bar.
and he became ill on Saturday night after the game. Or was it during the game?
It was after the game.
Yeah. And he's still, I guess, not doing so well, but he's doing better from what we know. And so I think we should all give him our we're thinking about him a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I was unaware. Yeah. So I hope nothing but speedy recovery for him.
Yeah.
Tucker gave me in-game updates via text message from one of the training camps in Arizona a few years ago, and that was awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, Tucker's a great guy.
No reason to do that other than the fact that we were all standing around at a bar, didn't know what was going on with the game, and he was just texting me updates. It was great.
He's cool.
He's one of those people that even if you don't know him,
oh yeah,
you know him.
Yeah,
in a way, he's.
I don't know Tucker well, but Tucker's a great guy. I've never had a bad experience or you know anything like that with Tucker. He's good people. So, Greg, real quick on the LA thing, give me your thoughts on the game, and then we're gonna go around table, and then we gotta put this thing to bed because apparently there's another thunderstorm rolling in, and Sam's scared.
I'm looking forward to this game. The Galaxy are somebody that I've only lived in Columbus a short time. I haven't seen the Galaxy play in person yet. It's kind of one of those things that sort of cross it off the list. The Galaxy are not a team that I'm quite as afraid of as I was. I might have been a couple years ago, you know, when they won the two cups and were, you know, basically beasts of the league.
Yeah, when they were two gals, two cups, I guess.
I guess they were.
Well, for a while they were two gals, one cup.
Yeah,
for a while,
and then the second cup happened.
Yes.
No, I'm looking forward to the game. If we just want to jump into score predictions, or we gonna
no, we're gonna go around table here.
Around
Sam,
the table.
Right. Sam, Crew LA score prediction.
2-1 LA.
2-1 LA. All right.
Scoring the winner and winning man of the match.
No.
All right.
Yeah, I am looking forward to Donovan
for
his last time around.
3-1 Galaxy.
All right, Justin.
I really think we're gonna win this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be 1-0.
All right. Sweatpants.
4-0 Columbus.
Oh, confidence. Wow.
Confidence.
Greg.
3-3, and all the Galaxy goals will come on penalties.
Wow. Ira.
Because Ruby came.
1-1.
1-1? Oh, wow.
Matt?
She did not sign
she
that.
She did not sign that. I'm a little upset so, right now.
How do you sign 1-1?
How do you sign 1-1?
Oh, it's pretty much like
pretty much exactly
it's pretty much like you imagine it.
Yeah. People all right. I'm gonna go out on a limb here because I'm always wrong. And who gives a crap? 2-0 Columbus. Because you know what? It's fun to say that. So it's another show. Oh, I was waiting for my outro music, and now it's here for Ira, for Sweatpants Bambalance.
Tony Galifo.
For Greg.
Tony Galifo.
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 Yes.
Galifo Sweat.
For Justin Bell, Chris Lamacchia, Sam Fahmy. My name is Mike Goshert. My captain does not answer. His lips are pale and still. My father does not feel his arm. He has no pulse nor will. The ship is anchored safe and sound. Its voyage closed and done. From fearful trip, the victor ship comes in with object one. Exalto shores and ringo bells. But I with mournful tread... Walk the deck, my captain lies. Fallen cold and dead.